afternoon, honorable members, our officials, and the department. We are warmly welcome into this third term. I believe we enjoyed our recess, although there were a lot of activities, political to different political parties, but I'm happy we are back, all of us safe. What is important is to look back and look forward and try to strategize on how do we close those gaps, because the third term is a term which determines whether you will achieve your goals or not. It gives challenge to us to review our strategies. So I'm happy that we are here, all of us, only saddened by the loss of our MP from Gauteng, Ms. Mtaung. May her departed soul rest in peace. There are many, many who has passed on, but this one was directly in the National Assembly. So I may say may their souls rest in peace, even those ones who do not even know their names. So it is very, very sad, because we thought this corona is gone, but some are not being taken away to God by corona, is by other illness. So we are really sorry, and we sympathize with the family and the party the member belongs into. So, comrade, honorable members, today's meeting is for us just to receive briefing from the department on the issue of the floods which occurred during July in KZN, as well as Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, where we have lost number of people there. Some even today that are still homeless. So in this regard, as the portfolio committee, our role is to do oversight. So it's our responsibility as this department. Unfortunately, we are not part of that ad hoc committee, but even if we are not part of the ad hoc committee, it's our responsibility to make sure that we do oversight as the portfolio committee into this matter. Our department is at the center of this matter. So we'll consider the committee's program, as well as receive that particular report from the department. I believe our politicians are here to can share with us. So with these few remarks, you are warmly welcome. Still continuing inviting your constructive ideas to make sure that we build this department properly. We show it the direct route to be able to discharge what they are there for. So you are warmly welcome. The meeting is officially opened. Then we'll now zoom to the next item, which is the roll call and apologies. I'll request Braking to tender those apologies if we do have any. Over to you, Braking.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, members that are in the platform that I've observed, it's Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Kruger, Honorable Hendricks, Honorable Matulelo, Honorable Lulbengo, Honorable April, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Mtenjane, and Honorable Tomelang, and Honorable Inkosi. Luthuli. And then the apologies that I've received, Chair, I've received the apology of Honorable Zungula, who indicated that he is part of the Mineral Committee, while they are in an oversight. Those are the members that I've observed. Should it happen that I missed somebody, can just indicate.
Is the department not represented?
Oh, the department, yes, Chair, the department is represented. There is, I've seen the minister is in the platform, and the other DG and other officials, they are in the platform. I've just received the apology of Honorable Nyeni that he is having a network challenges.
Okay, so, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
It's Honorable Hendricks here. Very good afternoon. I might have to leave early. I'm mobilizing some applicants for the minister's 8 programs at Alpha 2. So with your permission, I would just like to leave a bit early.
Thank you, but we'll schedule our meeting for 2 hours. If we can be productive, I believe you will be with us until such. Who's talking? Can you mute?
There, it's me. It's me. Sorry, it's background noise. It's not me. Ma'am Chair, I think if you look at the agenda, that 15:15 could be wrong. The fourth item there. I think the time is wrong. I think it's just a typing mistake.
Okay. They will correct it. Thank you for that. Can I have a mover from honorable members for the adoption of the agenda as it appears on the screen?
With that correction, I propose that we adopt the agenda. Thank you, Madam Chair.
There is a mover. Any seconder, honorable members?
Yeah, I second.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. I will now invite our officials to take us through the next item, which is the program of the third term. King, can you take us through?
Can you see the program, Chair?
No, it has disappeared.
Can you see it now?
No, nothing.
Let me see. Can you see it now, Chair?
Nothing. Yeah, it's coming up, yes. We can see it now. You can start.
As you're seeing it, I no longer see it in my screen. Okay. Okay, thank you, Chair. Sorry for these challenges. Chair, as the management, we have crafted a draft program of the term, of the third term for 2022, which then we are presenting it to the committee for consideration and adoption. So from the recess that we had, the parliament is what on recess. The term started last week on the 16th, whereby members of the National Assembly were at the training. And now, Chairperson, we are today as the 24th of August, we are expecting to get a briefing from the Department of Small Business Development on the programs aligned to the flood relief program for KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape and Northwest provinces. And we'll also be getting a briefing from TPSA on the progress on finalizing of the Small Business Development Organizational Structure. Then on the 31st, we are planning that we'll be having the briefing from the entities. On the 7th of September, we'll be considering the petition. And then on the 14th of September, we'll be getting more on the access to finance those entities that will be invited. Then on the 21st, we'll be expecting to get the quarter one performance report of the department and entities for year financial year 2022 and 2023. And then on the 28th of September, we'll also be having the stakeholders briefings with a view of getting the information of access to finance. Chairperson, what I'd also like to present to make the committee note is that as we're starting the meeting at 1, it was because of the request from DPSA where they indicated that the minister was so keen and wanted to attend this meeting. So now he will be having a meeting with the portfolio committee of DPSA. And then number two, because this week there's no cabinet meeting, so it will be prudent for the meeting to start in the afternoon so that to cater for the minister. So we adhered to that. It's not that we will be doing the meeting in the afternoon. It was only catering for the minister of DPSA for the presentation of the organizational structure of the Department of Small Business Development. And then I would also like to apologize with the hiccups that we have encountered and present this third term committee program to the portfolio committee for consideration and adoption. I move that the committee consider and adopt the program, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad King. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, thank you, because the screen has closed my coin there. Honorable members, here is the program before us. Can we engage on it?
Thank you, Chair. My hand is up.
Yes.
Yeah, Chair. Okay, I'm waiting.
Come in.
All right, thank you, Chair. If I remember correctly, the previous term in our report, we mentioned that ad hoc committee must be get formed so that we can monitor the red tape unit in the president's office. So I would like us to discuss it somewhere in the program and as soon as possible, because it seems like nothing is happening on that front. And of course, the longer it takes to get this unit off the ground, the more our small businesses are suffering. So I would like to propose that on Wednesday, the 7th September, we add then the department or committee of the president's office so that we can discuss this point and discuss forming an ad hoc committee in this regard. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Noted. We'll go and process it from management and then we'll advise. Thanks for that input. Another input?
Chair, there's a hand for Honorable Hendricks. And the hand
Honorable
for
Hendricks.
And Honorable Jacobs.
Honorable Hendricks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I wrote to the committee and yourself about the Business Act that needs to be amended. And because the Department of Small Business Development seems to be very slow to implement the President's request that permits be taken away from municipalities and that it be issued by the Department, but that requires an amendment of the Act. And seeing that the Small Business Development Department is too slow to make the amendments, my suggestion to you was a portfolio committee take that responsibility, because we also allowed to make amendments. So I would like some provision to be made in the program so that we can discuss that proposal.
Thank you, noted. I think my officials with us will do that. But since our politician, our minister is here, maybe on a overview, because I will request her to lead the team.
Recording in progress.
She may respond to certain things, just to update us. Thank you. So can I have a mover for the adoption of the program, as well as the second?
So that no,
chair,
I think honorable
from Honorable Jacobs.
Oh, sorry. Honorable Jacobs, you were the third speaker.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to everybody on the platform and everybody that's tuning in. Chair, just some comments on the program. I think broadly we must accept and endorse the program. I think the one thing that we did say last time was also the issue around access to finance, and we need to get a slot for getting the National Treasury and the Banking Association of South Africa to hear what they're doing for small business access to finance. I know there's some innovative products in the banking space that's giving small business opening of bank accounts and stuff like that, but we want to slot them in. So I'm also proposing that we do the slot there with the Telkom half of the session on the 6th, 7th, to put in for the access to finance, National Treasury, Clerk Barsa, to come in there. Chair, just on the Honorable Kruger's point, I think, yes, we did say that we want to invite the president's head of Rate Reduction and Small Business, I think it's Mr. Nkosi. So I think we need to see how we can get a slot for that, if there is progress on that. Chair, also on the legislative framework, I think I can't speak for the minister, but I think there is agreement that we need to expedite the legislative framework. So I think instead of doing either or, I think we should work with the department and the ministry to see how we can fast track. And I'm asking our officials in parliament, maybe it's better for us as the portfolio committee to drive the legislative reform for small business as opposed to the minister, because it has to go through a lot of hoops when it goes through the executive process. So I also share Honorable Hendrik's suggestion that we create a space in our program for the legislative stuff. Here there's lots of municipalities that is defying the president's order for relaxing the business registration and licensing, and we see still that happening in the city of Cape Town, where still a lot of the informal traders are being moved from their places of business because of this. So it is a big problem, and I think we need to address it. And I think then just finally, the minister has also addressed the national implementation plan. It is going to, I think it was approved by cabinet, and so I think at appropriate time that must also surface on this portfolio committee chair. So those are all the submissions that I wanted to factor in the program. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair, just a follow up, please.
I think the chair is
left us. Say again, Honorable Hendricks. I think the chair left us. Can you hear me? King, can you hear me?
Chair, are you there?
King, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
Chairperson. Can you unmute yourself, Chair? Chairperson, can you unmute yourself?
I've done so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Kruger would like to make a full up.
Yeah, you can do so, Honorable Kruger.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Honorable Jacobs, also agreeing with me. But still, one issue that we need to solve is the ad hoc committee. So I will propose that our content advisor next week's meeting bring us the process how we can start, because I'm not 100% sure how this ad hoc committees and what is the ins and outs. So if the content advisor can bring us a proposal next week, so that we can start with the process of creating this ad hoc committee, because as I say, it's actually yesterday was too late to start that. But let's start it and get the ball rolling. Thank you, Madam Chair. And then the last point, if we need to propose this agenda, I don't think we can do it today. I don't know if the committee agree with me. I think we need to see all the changes and then we can propose the new program for this term. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other input? We are bound to adopt the program is a culture. And then what is being proposed, our officials will go and infect it, because the program can be updated time and again, but we can't move without a form. So that's why I'm saying, and I'm in agreement with you, Honorable Kruger, when you say our content advisor must go. Yes, they will even go to their unit as well as to their seniors for consultation, and then they will come. He will come and back and brief us. But for now, let's adopt what is before us.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the agenda with those provisions, and then we can just make the additions next in the next meeting. Chair.
Thank you. Any seconder?
I do second with the amendments.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can
so
I, Madam Chair, can I just come in? Honorable Jacob said agenda. I think we must just correct it. It's the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having that a good listening skill, Honorable Kruger. You're assisting us. I didn't really hear, notice that. Thank you so much. So the program is duly adopted with those amendments or addition. It's the responsibility of our officials to go and look at it, because where we're going to invite other stakeholders, we must make sure that we communicate with them and then they confirm. That's why we can't put it here now, but it's something which is going to be dealt with. It's a work in progress. Thank you so much. Can we now move to the next item, Braking?
Thank you, Chair. It's going to be the presentation by the department, Chairperson.
Can I now invite our political head, our minister, just to usher her team? Over to you, Honorable Minister, and welcome again in this third term.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee that are in this platform. Good afternoon to all participants, both from our portfolio and those that are coming from outside. Chairperson, let me first take this opportunity to thank the Portfolio Committee for affording us an opportunity to come and give progress on the work that we were mandated to do when KZN and Eastern Cape had specific challenges in relation to natural causes, as we have seen when the incidents happened. With us, we have the DG of the department, and of course, the CEs of our agencies. The project that we are coming to talk about is implemented at CEDA, and therefore CEDA will get into the details of what has been done, what has not been done, and why, including attending to challenges that may have arisen when we started the process. Chairperson, earlier on, you invited members to make inputs in the program and various proposals are made. But what drew my attention, Chairperson, is what the honored members are raising, especially in relation to the delays of addressing the red tape issues that are affecting our small businesses. At the center of it are the legislative amendments that we need to undertake. And of course, we know that this is a process that we have started as a department, as we indicated earlier, but we are also looking at the timelines, taking into consideration all the processes that we need to follow so that we adhere to every framework that is there and we do not miss any step, so that we don't find ourselves being challenged on the processes that may be found to be unlawful. We really appreciate that the Portfolio Committee members are also looking at ways of helping us and to help the country overcome these challenges in a manner that will not take too long. We are weighing options, honorable members, of the best ways of how to go about this. Of course, this we do taking into consideration what I've highlighted earlier, the time frames that we take when we pass the legislation, which is a minimum of 18 to 24 months. And reality is that we do not have that time. Our economy is not doing well. Our small businesses are closing. People are losing jobs. And this delays the development of our country. Therefore, we need any assistance or any other help that can come and join hands with us. This is why we're exploring legal ways of how best can we go about the system. And amongst those that we are considering is engaging with the Portfolio Committee to look at the best ways that they can assist us with, whether this can be turned to be an in-committee bill, but it's something that we are looking at from our side. And when we have received all the information that will pass the legal frameworks, then we'll be able to brief the committee accordingly. And we do promise, Honorable Chair, that we're not going to take long because it is a burning issue for us also to say there are things that we've been saying are a red tape, are a hindrance to the success of small businesses, and they are taking too long. So we are looking at all those that we must be able to fast track, as we've been looking at, we've mentioned the issue of establishing an ombuds office amongst others. There's lots of things legislatively that we need to undertake in order to deal with the red tape. Others are not our responsibility, but we are engaging with those that are affected. Hence, I'm saying once we get a clear way forward of what's the best model, we will then request a committee chair to come and make a presentation to yourselves. As I say that, Honorable Chair, please allow me to hand over to the DG of the department, who will then take us through. Of course, CEDA is here to talk to the implementation. But the fact that we committed a sum of 50 million rand when we went to KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape for formal businesses, and we committed 10 million rand for informal businesses. It has been proven, as we looked at the number of applications received, that the amount is not sufficient, but unfortunately, this is what we could afford from our kitty. We had written to National Treasury, which had rejected our application, but we have again submitted now for the unforeseen, unforeseeable and the unforeseeable expenditure that we are awaiting feedback from. We would also urge members, if they're able to assist us, to also support us in that quest. Because if we are saying it's 165 million rand that we're running short of, it tells you that those small businesses may not be able to come back and open already if we just have 50 million rand and the demand is at 225 million rand. I thought it's important that I highlight that. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I hand over to the Director General of the Department with your permission.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. DG, over to you.
Thanks, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Members. I must indicate that Minister has already touched on the key issues around this intervention. It's CEDA that is implementing. I must also maybe indicate to the committee that we've worked closely with other departments, given the lessons that we've learned with the previous interventions, to make sure that there are no double dipping issues that we face. We work closely with the IDC. We also did work closely with the Provincial Department of Economic Development to make sure that the interventions that we come up with are also aligned to their interventions. So there are no areas where people have received money from us and also from IDC. And we continue to monitor this closely so that we save the taxpayers' money. Without wasting time, Chair, I will hand over to the CEO. He will talk to the two provinces that we were able to assist, which is the KZN and Eastern Cape. And I must emphasize what the minister said, that the resources are too limited that we have. Hopefully, we will get a positive response so that we don't disappoint too many people. Thank you very much, Chair. With your permission, I'll hand over to the CEO of CEDA. Thank you.
Thank you. CEO CEDA, the stage is yours.
Thanks, Chair. May I get the sharing right?
Bracking, can you assist in this regard?
Yes, I've done it, Chair. In fact, I thought it would be the DG. I'd given the DG, okay. But I've also done it.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, I hope the presentation is clear on your side.
Yeah, it is clear.
I would like to greet the Chair and the members. The Minister as well, the DG as well as everyone present. I will start by just, I hope my voice is loud enough. I'm screaming at the top of it. I'm suffering from a bar of flu, but I'm hoping I'm clear on your side, and I'll try to keep it as loud as possible. I will then just take the members through this presentation, and just starting from the background, given that it's the first time we are reporting on this matter, I will just go through the background. I think a lot has been covered by the Minister and the DG. I will start by saying that the department via CEDA responded to the floods in KZN and Eastern Cape. We then devised two schemes. One scheme is the formal trader scheme, and the other one is the informal trader scheme. The former trader scheme had a 50 million rand or has a 50 million rand budget that was reprioritized from other programs, especially specifically from CIFA. And CIDA is then the implementer of the program. We are covering the businesses that were uninsured or underinsured within the Eastern Cape for working capital equipment, equipment that was damaged, and stock that was also damaged, and other tools. The maximum amount for this scheme is up to 2 million per applicant, and obviously subject to what the client needs. And this is verified to ensure that the clients or the SMEs are not claiming for more than what was damaged during that time, but I'll get into that. And some of the results that we've received since we've been doing our verification. 100% grant, and we are dealing with applications that are just from 10,000 minimum and above, and we are paying directly to the suppliers to avoid the funds being misused for other things. On the informal traders scheme, or actually one thing I skipped is that we opened this on the 25th of April and we had to close by the 13th of May, mainly because we realized that the applications were growing or increasing each and every day. And when we realized that we are not getting extra funding for this, we had to close the applications. On the informal scheme, we had some delays. This is got an amount of 10 million rand that we need to disperse to the informal sector, applicants that were affected or impacted by the floods. We had some delays here because we wanted to make sure that we are able to onboard suppliers that would be able to supply into to supply the products into the informal sector. But we opened the window and we're closing this Friday on the 26th of August. Again, we're dealing with Eastern Cape and KZN in terms of replacing what was destroyed for the informal sector, up to 10,000 rand per informal trade. However, we have started rationalizing this because of the number of applications that are coming through. We may have to even provide even a lower amount given the number that was impacted if we want to get to as many informal traders as possible. We started looking at 7,500, but we can see again there that that will not help much because there's a lot of numbers that are coming through, given that Etegwin alone so far has submitted about 700 and something applications as a district or as a metro. And that gives worrying concern. So we have to work on rationalizing on this part of the informal sector. And again, we'll be paying to the suppliers. I think on the just a few things that I want to touch on, it's just issues of on the former trader, we expected that every applicant will have an affidavit declaring that they were affected by the floods in order to avoid the issues of fraudulent applications. We also affidavit that they were not insured or that they were underinsured to make sure that the money is spread accordingly and is not given to SMEs that were insured for the product. Proper quotations, photos of prior to the disaster if available. We also requested that these businesses be registered in terms of CIPC. Amongst other things that we asked for. And I think it was important that there must be good standing with us, given that this is obviously we are using taxpayers' money. The last one is that we had said that there must have been operation by the 30th of March 2022. Otherwise, if we are not, that would become a problem for us to then be able to verify. I would then move, Chair. By the time we closed on the 13th of May, we had received a total of 157 applications from the SMEs. This is on the formal sector. I will get to the informal one. With an estimated value of 225 million, as the minister has indicated, when we looked at the applications at that point in time, and I must say that we did, when we got these, we're able to put the serial numbers or reference numbers to the application so that we know how we deal with them, especially because it's a matter of first come, first serve, given the amount that we have. 408 of those applications, 201 million, were from KZN. 49 of those applications were from the Eastern Cape with 24.3 million estimated amount. And then 213 of the 457 were women-owned businesses, and 54 of the 457 were youth-owned businesses. And this was the budget has been detailed that we only have 50 million and that we tried to get more money without success, and the minister is working hard to get us more money to fund what those that would not be funded within the 50 million. We are trying to stretch the rent as much as possible. Out of the what we received, 36% of the applications was agriculture, and the other 36% was services, followed by manufacturing, construction, and tourism, among other sectors that I will show later. In terms of the geographical spread, in terms of district of the applications, the members will see that Ethekwini, which has been the most affected area, had 212 applications, with the most applications that were received, followed by Ilembe, Ugu, Afrikanzo, and the rest coming in then after those. In terms of value, you would note that from the 225 million, 124 million of that was coming from Ethekwini. Obviously, the applications, the number of applications that was received, as I showed in the previous slide, showed that actually the Ethekwini was the most affected area. That followed by Lembe, Afrikanzo, and the others in terms of value of applications that we received. Apologies, Chair. And then the next slide just talks about what we found to be complete applications that were completed at the time of receipt. You see that on 223 applications on receipt were complete, amounting to 206. So we had to work with the SMEs to make sure that other applications are complete. Chair, on the next slide, we are talking about some of applications per sector. You will note that, Chair and the members, that the agricultural sector came in with, so here we're just segmenting per sector. So we had a lot of applications coming from agricultural sector. About 76 million of that was agri. Services, in terms of value, services was high at 80 million, and agriculture followed in terms of the value of applications, and then there was manufacturing, construction, and so forth. We then move to the next slide, which is count per sector. You will then note that services had 157, and agriculture with 154, manufacturing with 61. Applications. We then also further categorized these in terms of the agriculture sector, which was one of the most affected sectors. You note that there Ilembe had the most applications, followed by Tewin and Africa, so in terms of agriculture and the balance coming from the other districts that were impacted. And this is just the available agriculture applications, the district, following the numbers that came through. Then update, Chair, as of now, we just want to discuss the application stage. We have been, as a team within SIDA, gone out and assessed 179 applications, or done 179 site visits, rather. We've assessed the applications, but we've done 179 site visits to the clients to do verifications. Because this is one of the most important steps for us to be able to go and verify these applications and see if really there was an impact and if these businesses existed before and if the equipment that they say was damaged, and is not operating, is there and indeed is not operating and so forth, amongst other things. 26 of the applications were declined and 12 were withdrawn during this process. And we have 142 applications then that were sent for approval in the to the national office as of to date. The reasons for the decline of the applications, in summary, withdrawals as well, is that, you know, when we got to the sites, we found that the items that were being claimed for could not be verified that they existed before or prior to the floods. And that's where you find that actually the invoices that were produced for some of the equipment were just new, with different dates, new dates and so forth, which didn't exist before the floods, which we found that it can support. Other items, when we got to sites, we found that they were actually in the working order and there was no replacement or prior repairs needed. And we must say that we conduct these visits on surprise. Because the address would have. So we rock up and we found that some of these things were not really required and same means with claiming for things not damaged. And others, the amounts were fictitious and inflated. And others were like not covered by the scheme, like the buildings and so forth. And on other items, we found that they were covered by the insurance and others did not just simply meet the criteria and they were not tax compliant. So all these were not then able to process, leading to those declines and withdrawal of applications. Chair, the next slide then talks to what we've approved. So out of the 142 sent to the National Office, 120 applications have been approved, amounting to 43.9 million. So we say that we only have about 6 million to still approve that we're working on, which we believe by end of this week or next week we would have approved the whole 50 million. And out of the 120, out of the 120, we've returned 106 to the provinces for them to start the procurement process. This just talks to the number of jobs. We are saying that through this intervention, we have saved, based on our approvals, we are saving 1,306 jobs between the two provinces or the districts that were impacted. And this just details the breakdown per each district in terms of the number of jobs that we are saving through this process. And this is just the amount of approvals per district with the table coming in at 15 million so far. Being the most affected area, and the rest of the districts are detailed. And this is just the number of approvals. The district it will have approved more. Ilembe, Afrozinzo, and Oratambo following. Chair, this just details the approvals per sector. In terms of where we're sitting, we're at 19%, followed by services at 17% of what we have approved so far. KZN has issued about 45 purchase orders amounting to 12 million thus far, and 33 payments amounting to 11 million have been made in terms of procuring, and Eastern Cape 4 purchase orders have been issued, and we are working on issuing more in that area so that we can deliver to the SMMEs. These are just pictures, Chair, of what was how the floods had damaged one of the clients that we have already procured, and this shows the type of product that has been delivered on this picture. These are the other pictures showing the damage by the floods and what we are replacing. Again, just showing the truck doing the deliveries. These are some of the yellow equipments that were damaged by floods and the replacements that we've done. This is in KZN where we've issued purchase orders and goods are beginning to be delivered. These are some of the pictures that show some of the clients that have applied. We still need to do the payments. They still need to replant, which obviously would take time, and we'll see the result after or post them replanting. And again, these are some of the pictures of the factories that were damaged as part of the client's zones in King Pretoria that we are working in terms of making sure that this equipment is done and they are back in production. This is some of the livestock, and these are just the clients that we've verified already, where we're working on just making sure that payments are done and they are back on business. I won't take much of the time around that. This is an informal scheme. As I said, it's closing on the 26th of August. we have worked, Chair and the members, with the municipalities, where we are saying that the municipalities and LED officers must be part of this to make sure that no one is left behind from the informal traders' point of view, and they'll be able to do the verifications while working with us and send and package all these applications and send them straight to CEDA for us to be able then to adjudicate and be able to pay. We anticipate that both these schemes will then be able to make all the necessary payments by end of September, and then we'll be done and we'll be able to close the scheme and then monitor from there and make sure that these businesses then are monitored, because they will be part of the CEDA database that would do the post monitoring and also provide other interventions like training on how to run their businesses, marketing material and so forth, to make sure that the investment that the department has made is not in vain, but these businesses continue to be successful businesses and they're able to get back to the market and produce and retain the employees that they had, as we have demonstrated. Chair, with that, I would like to thank you and your members for listening to the presentation.
Chairperson. Chairperson.
She's still here. Let me call her.
Braking, I can hear you now. I'm saying let's request DPSA to present their presentation. They have requested that, is then that will make some deliberation on the two presentations.
Okay, Chair.
Good morning, good afternoon, Chair, honourable members, Minister and colleagues. I'm Siyabonga Msimang from the Department of Public Service and Administration, and with the permission of the Chair, we only have a very brief and concise 2-minute presentation on the structure. If the Chair can allow, it's actually the good news, if I may put it that way, Chairperson, in that throughout our deliberations on the structure with the department, the minister has managed to concur and sign off the letter a week ago. So, Chair, that's our submission, that our deliberations with the department have paid off. The minister has signed off on their structure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. These are good news. Indeed, it's a long overdue matter. So if the structure has been signed off, heads will be rolling in the department. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, Chair, if you may release some of our members. probably.
Since the structure has been signed, I don't think that there will be any hiccup. We may allow you to leave, and then we'll deal with the first presentation with CEDA.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, here we are. Let's congratulate the department. The structure has been signed after a very long time. Congratulations to our minister. And then let's deliberate on the presentation on the relief of a flood from KZN as well as Eastern Cape. I will request members to raise up their hands. King will assist me to identify those hands so that we quickly raise our issues on that particular presentation. But I want to say that we really appreciate and we are in support. We are behind you, Honorable Minister, with your team, because a lack of funds will really fail us to assist our people down there. But we appreciate up to so far on what you have done. Honorable members, the stage is yours.
There's a hand from Honorable Hendricks, Honorable Mtenjane, Honorable De Villiers, and Honorable Mathulelwa so far.
Okay. In that order, Honorable Hendricks, can you start?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm glad to hear that a lot of it being done in the Eastern Cape and also in KZN after the floods, and especially after the looting before that. But progress is slow. Funds are limited. A bit disappointed that the department is not monitoring what parliamentary constituency officers are doing. And there are many parliamentary constituency officers of different political parties that have also been involved. And, you know, the idea was to extend the footprint of CEDA. And I'm pleased to say that in Mapami village, the department has delivered a fishing vessel to help the people affected by the floods, and the rain there every day. And that fishing vessel, a cooperative of fishermen, will now be able to have a livelihood. Also in Gradville, our constituency officer, that Gradville is where Chief Albert Latuli is buried, a very important location in our land. And we have managed to get the department to assist with a cooperative that is going to manufacture peanut butter, because along that river that caused so much problems, they grow peanuts. However, with regard to the legislative matters, I see the Democratic Alliance supports Al Jamar's view that maybe we must have a committee bill to deal with the legislative matters. The minister, 2 years is too long. We can't let our people suffer another 2 years before we fix the legislation and before we stop the oppression by municipalities like here in Cape Town that do not allow roadside trading and that do not assist informal traders and have trading plans which is unconstitutional. So we have written to you, to the Honorable Chair and to the committee. We went to take legal advice. Al Jamar is ready to do a private member's bill, but I've done the courtesy of suggesting, you know, why doesn't the portfolio committee do it? After listening to the minister, we are waiting for the reply from the department and from the chair with regard to the extensive submissions that we've made, and we had to retain the services of a lawyer and advocate to do that. It looks like maybe, you know, we must be bold and do a private member's bill. You know, maybe it will also take long, but When it comes to the motion of desirability, we need the support of the portfolio committee to fast track it. So that is my response, Honourable Chair, and we have to do much more as far as helping the victims of the floods and of the looting is concerned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Welcome, everybody, after a little bit long holiday. While we were busy in our constituencies, of course. Chairperson, unfortunately, I'm not necessarily convinced here about this report that we just received. Because with me here, I've got a report that also speaks about the same floods in the KZN and the Eastern Cape. But it contradicts a lot about what was presented here to us. So this makes us now to doubt if indeed this report is an accurate report. But also what will help us, I think, as a committee, Chairperson, I think this department must furnish us with a database of all the businesses that they say they already proved or approved their applications. They must give us that information as well, much as I said earlier, so that when we are in our constituencies, we will also on our own go there and have a visual check physically, if indeed this is true. Because you will bear with me, Chairperson, that we have a history here in this government and also this department. We have a history that there are funds that are misused for personal gains and stuff like that. I'm not casting aspersion now, but let them punish us with a database. That then will inform us if indeed what they are telling us is true. For that, Chairperson. And then another thing, Chair, it's very much disturbing sitting here listening to the department that says, yes, indeed, it went to KZN, it went to Eastern Cape. I never heard anything about the Northwest here. But as far as I know, the report was that even Northwest was also affected by the same floods that we are talking about. But nothing is being spoken about Northwest. I also hear that the concern maybe is that the department has received limited funds. It still needs more funds. I understand that, but we still need to include them, all those who are affected. Even if the funds are so small, we need to include them. Utabao Steve, Chairperson, so we can't leave others outside just because there are no funds. And lastly, Chairperson, I also get surprised or wonder if they say there are no funds while we have a president who's sleeping and sitting in dollars somewhere in his farm. I think he can take that money and donate to these people who need it most here, because he's sleeping in that money instead of giving it to these people here who are in desperate of help. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks. Next speaker, Honorable De Villiers.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and fellow committee members. It's very nice to see you all again. We haven't seen each other in a very long time, it feels to me like, and it's nice to get back to business. I want to thank the department for the presentation. In short, I think the two things that which is probably important for every single committee member here is firstly that help and funding does reach participants and that it is actually spent on people who need it, on small businesses who need it, who really was affected by the funds. I want to firstly thank the department. It does seem like if I look at previous programs that they've a little bit more stringent rules and regulations in terms of how you qualify for these grants. And specifically, I want to commend them on that you must prove what was affected, broken, or needs to be replaced, and then that the payment goes to the supplier who needs to do that work. It does seem like a good measure, and I hope that the CEO will put monitoring in place to make sure that the money reaches the right suppliers. My biggest question, and it's probably something which the department can answer, but how are we protected against overinflation of prices by these suppliers? I'm assuming that there would be a quote system that they would look at two or three quotes, but maybe they can just confirm that to me, that debt relief funding is not going to suppliers who have inflated their prices to gain access to this money. Because that would be one way to game the system to get in more money than you actually needed. And the other is what we unfortunately saw with COVID is how are we protected in this program against businesses, suppliers, or the business who've approached these programs, that none of the directors or shareholders, the beneficiaries of funding, are actually government employees, be it CEDA employees or CIFA employees, all government, local municipality employees. But as a principle, this money should go to small business owners who are not also employed by government itself, which I think would actually be illegal. So those are my questions, and I would just like to once again commend the department. I can see that there's a effort being made to really help businesses, and that is what we have to do. So thank you very much, Shepers.
Thank you, Honorable De Villiers. I believe they are jotting it down. I will give them chance to respond. Honorable Matulelwa, the next speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to Honorable Members. I'm very disappointed with the report that we've been given here by this department or this CEDA. I don't really understand what is a first come, first serve in disaster, because government must go to the people, more especially in times of disaster. You can't operate as usually, like someone must apply and then those ones who applied first will be attended to. This department did never even bother doing oversight after disaster. This department is not existing. That's the sad truth and the reality that we are not. We were just, that is why we always say this department must go back to trade and industry, because really we do not exist. How comes a department does not go and do an oversight and see? Because you are mentioning some places in KZN that you are giving people or you are helping people there. But in the Eastern Cape, you are not mentioning anything. Maybe Matatiela is not an Eastern Cape, because even the councillor, the ward councillor, did not even visit any victim of this flood. We don't know where is the department actually talking about the people that has been helped. We don't know. And I'm disappointed really, because the president himself, Ramaphosa, during this time of period, during this time of disasters, all disasters, COVID, floods, there are monies in mattresses and sofas. But Agusnetiswa Aband was told there's no money. I just want to get, as well as my colleague has said here, that we need that a report in details. We've been asking reports in details, but we are not given anything. Or else we need, if ever we can't go to people, we are so special like that, we can't go to people to do oversight. We need those people abanike ziwe is mali. Those people who are given some monies for this relief of this flood. They must come, they must be invited here and talk themselves. They must talk here and tell us if this department has given them something, because we're no longer, I'm surprised that there is somewhere where they help in this government. I thank you, Chair. I'm just disappointed with the whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Matulelo. King, do we still have other hands?
Yes, Chairperson. There's a hand from Inkosi Luthuli. And then there's also a hand from Honorable Jacobs.
These are the only two hands.
So far, these are the two, Mkhonisha Inkosi Luthuli and Honorable Jacobs. So far.
Honorable Inkosi Luthuli, the stage is yours, Chair. Fair. You may ask the department clarity seeking question on the presentation.
Angibonge Sihlalo. Ngikunane nje okwami Sihlalo nendlu yakho. Indaba ye lokuzana ye WDP. What measures are in place ezingavimba ukuthi i-WDP ngihlalo ingenzeki, ngoba kunezinto engathi uma ngabe ngizisho nje kwesinye isikhathi mhlawumbe sihlalo angayi-understand zokuthi somewhere somehow uthole ukuthi inkampani ethize isiza abantu abathize kuyona le relief. At the same time, we're coming, and then another time, could come in company food. This is the same people lava food, Yabaluban. Even the Mali, it comes to government in Gambela, Gobanazoli, Lama NGOs, Nalama, in Kangano, Jesus, the Mali government. Kian said, Kubenin King, you would see who told us. Kuthola abantu abafanayo ngesikhathi esifanayo bathole kule nkampani baphinde bathole kule nkampani, kodwa izimali ziziqhamuka kugovernment. Nokuthi-ke okunye okungikhalisayo Sihlalo, it's about the amount, that amount of 50 million. Uma ngithi ngiyayibala nje ngithi ngiyabuka eyakhishwa i-department, uthi uma uthi uyabuka you can see ukuthi this thing only serve only 25 people ingempela ngempela, kube isibalo sisikhulu into engaphezu kokwenza ukuthi kukhona yini umhlonishwa ungqongqoshe omnyango angase asenzele kona ukuze le mali inyukele. Ngizwile nje esho ethi usa-aplayile kodwa bayala laba abanye. Ngithi ukwala-ke kwalabo abaphethe izimali lezi zika-government ukuthi basize abantu bawusizakala nini. Ngiyabonga Sihlalo.
I just got a call from the chair now. She asked if I can just continue with the chairing. Is that okay with the house? And also allow myself to speak. If that's okay, Minister, colleague. Okay. I just got a few questions, and again, greetings to everybody on the platform. I also share Honorable de Villiers' concern that I think we are responsive and government needs to be commended. Minister and your team take a bow the work that you've done was in difficult circumstances and you needed to be in the cycle. But the one thing that came out quite strong was the responsiveness of government. So I think that's a good thing. I think the one question that I wanted to ask that could CIDA give the committee a breakdown of the application from the informal trader that was received and approved in May 22? Can they just please elaborate on that? I also wanted to ask if CIDA could update the committee on progress today in respect of the July-August application from informal traders. And I think I also linked up to our honourable member from the ESF. What assistance has CIDA offered to informal traders affected by floods in the Northwest? And then if only 32 was declined, what happened to the 100 applications that was completed? So I think there is just we just need some reconciliation there because we talk about the 32 declined. What happened to the 100 applications that was completed? Are they still being processed? Were they approved but we didn't have funds? I want CIDA just to help us with that. I'd also like to hear in CIDA's own assessment, or maybe the ministry, how great is the genuine need for business support after the floods? I think we've seen the pictures and we were in the oversight, I think two or three, we went to KZN after the unrest. So I think we've just seen the flood from a distance. So we'd like to get a view from the government, the need of business support, and should we continue with it? And then I think the government allocated 50 million to the formal traders and relief fund. Only 33 million or 67% was approved. Of that amount, how much was disbursed to business to date? And what's the current value of underspending? And what are the plans regarding the unspent fund? Chair, those are some of the questions that I have. If the chair is not back, then I'll just check. I'll continue chairing and then maybe just invite her. If there's no other questions, invite the responses from the department and the DG and the minister. I see no other members. I think we've covered all the questions. Over to you, DG and minister and CEO.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. And let me state up front that we appreciate the input that have been made by the honorable members. We're just gonna focus on responding or clarifying certain things, including providing information that is requested where we can. Honorable Hendricks raises the matter that talks to the private members bill. That he thinks that's the best way to go forward. And indeed, honourable members, as I indicated earlier, that the crisis and the challenge that we are faced with as the department is that these processes are not our processes as the department. These are processes of parliament defined within the law. And we can therefore be found to be in breach of those. This is why we're saying now, looking also at other measures that Parliament has introduced in legislative amendments or development, we are exploring those to say which is the best legislative framework that we can take. And this is done, honourable members, because we feel the pinch as we go around the country to the rural areas to meet both informal and formal businesses. Our people are in dire need. We're not only experiencing that when we visit them. We see the state of the economy. We see how our brothers in the townships are not employed. And we know that we are finding ourselves in this crisis as government and parliament because we had not followed up or implemented what was derived in the National Development Plan. This is why I started with that on the inputs that I made, that we really see that all these stringent processes that probably we have to review as parliament, does time still allow? that we take 24 months to pass the legislation? And what's the impact of those delays whilst we have stipulated all the processes? Now that we are in the digital era, how best can we utilize those to ensure that at least by the time a bill is developed, at least it's still relevant? Because taking too long also talks to the fact that by the time we're trying to address a challenge, there's a new one, and we must again take time to come back and do that. So that's me speaking as a member of parliament now to say maybe there's something that we must change. We can propose as this committee as we see the impact of the delays in the process that we have outlined ourselves in developing the legislation. I did indicate that one of the options we're exploring is coming to this portfolio committee and request that this will be a committee bill. This is what we said as a department here, Honorable Hendricks. Unfortunately, we will not have time to provide oversight over PCOs. That's the responsibility of parliament, not of government. But in everything that we do as government is to work with PCOs, for they're an extension of parliament, which is the public representation. And the work that we do responds to what the public needs. That's why everywhere we go, we notify the portfolio committee to say if they can join, they must join us and extend a hand to the PCOs that are around. We will not find time to go and monitor what the PCOs are doing. That one is very far from us. Actually, it will be really an overreach in the work that we are responsible for. But we welcome collaborations where members are saying they have these programs that they have and they want to partner with us where we have clearly tabulated that in this area, this is what we are going to do. Because again, the plans that we put in parliament and the areas and the amounts that we put as per National Treasury, the give budget, are approved by parliament. It becomes very difficult, therefore, to then just shift without a disaster to say we're going to go and do something outside that. Because again, we do not want to be in breach of the frameworks that have been approved by both government and parliament. Honorable Mtenjane raises his dissatisfaction and loss of distrust in the process that we are presenting here in parliament. And again, I can apologize for that, unfortunately. We will not be able to say the honorable member must trust us, but we will report on what we know. And we will state facts on that. That's the only thing that we can be able to do. If there's a report that contradicts what we have said, the honorable member must feel free to provide oversight. That's oversight. If any member feels like we've came here to mislead parliament, which is an offense on its own, then the honorable members must feel free to provide that report and lay the charges. What we are presenting here is what we have received, what we have communicated, and what we've done or we are planning to do. We will look at the issue of providing parliament with the number of applications that we received, those that are approved, where we have dispersed, and where we have not, and. We will do that, but again, we will have to first write to them. As we know that we also have power to say we're gonna make information public because anyway, these are public funds. So I doubt there will be anyone who wants to have access to public funds but does not want to be listed as a person who's looking for help from government funds. So that will do, just to write to them to say this is what is expected of us to provide. And we will therefore leave at your capable hands and other members to make sure that the information provided is not misused for any other thing other than what we are presenting it for as per the request. Okay, Northwest not included in this allocation. Honourable members will recall that the first outbreak was KZN followed by Eastern Cape, and the commitment of the funds that we made when we're in KZN looking at what we can afford without foreseeing that Western Cape is going to experience something or Northwest is going to experience. Now, it would be irresponsible of us, whilst we have received the applications, we see already that we are applying for funding and we can't be able to provide, to say, come again and apply, because we will be creating an expectation, which is why we refer them to see the offices in their local areas, but especially local informal businesses, to say they must go to the LED offices, which we always do, because with the informal, things are better and easier, because there's that linkage at all times with the LEDs. And we have to take too long, honorable members, in order to ensure that we have avoided the double dipping. It is a reality. When we put this 50 million rand, NES was also putting 50 million rand. Therefore, we've got to make sure that those that we're attending to are not the same that are being attended by NES. And that process takes too long. So when we say we have not gone to this, it doesn't mean that the NES has not supported others. But we hope if the portfolio committee can't invite NES, maybe if they allow, we can also request where did they provide their support on small businesses, so that information is made available. In total, as government towards small businesses, we had committed 100 million, 50 million by us and 50 million by NES. We continue to check where there's damage. Yes, physically, you may not have seen a minister going to Northwest, but we had other members, that, including our officials, that visited Northwest. Well, okay, I'll respond to this one when I close. Honorable de Villiers, yes, it's important that we look at the fact that the prices are not inflated, and we believe that our bureaucrats here are checking those, because indeed it is silly to pay for 150 rands for a bottle of water that we buy at 6 rands. We made it clear that there will be consequences. So the CEs are here to respond. Those that strictly administrative, they will respond to say what is that they've done to make sure. It's important that we also check ownership. I fully agree. Those Stella registers 5 companies. Stella goes with another company to apply at the provincial department for their support at CEDA and at NES. And indeed, that's why now as the department, we are also saying there's a need for an integrated system that lists all businesses, small businesses and cooperatives. And of course, that must be linked to the department that affect the work that is being done. And when we do that, we're able to see that you got assistance from local, therefore there's no need unless it's topping up from what was provided. Honorable Matilela, you are disappointed. Government must go to the people. I guess, Honorable Chair, if I'm allowed to say this, at least this is one thing that the honorable members must give us credit on. We've been on the ground. We've been on the ground. That's one thing that we've done. That's why we visited even the areas that I'm talking about. Madadiel, yes, we didn't go to Madadiel because when we reached out to the executive mayor, whilst we were already in the Eastern Cape, in our schedule, we had put Alfonso in place. And then we were informed that there are no small businesses that are affected. So there was no need for us to visit. Until they later realized that farmers are also part of small businesses, both the businesses that are mainly affected in Madela farmers, which the department thought, and the municipality, I believe, thought that they only belong to agriculture, until we explained that when you're a small-scale farmer that produces whatever that you produce for a Boxer store or for ShopRite, you're no longer the constituency, but you are a shared stakeholder between ourselves as a small business and the mother department that you belong to, which is why we took a decision to say we are going to support those that meet the criteria that was set. So the principle of first come first, that unfortunately it's something that we can't shy away, because there's money and then we process. It's not literally like we're saying you came first, you came last. But when we process, you look at what was, we opened applications and therefore we process what is here in front of us. We won't be able to go and know that what is going to happen in 3 months. So that's what the CE meant. No, literally saying what we're putting there. No, you came late. We're not going to attend to you. But how we do the work, we don't wait for a longer period, because this was an issue that was really worrisome to all of us. And we understood that we really need to bring those businesses back to being able to participate in the economy. The honourable member also alleges that they've been requesting reports from us and they are not forthcoming. I miss whose report is that. If the honourable member can be specific so that if indeed that is a true reflection, we can correct that. But according to the records that I have, everything that the portfolio committee has requested, we had provided. And where we have not provided, we have provided an explanation of why not now. We are helping Honorable Matulo. You may not believe it. You can go on the ground, but you'll find, yes, we're not reaching out to all because of our size. But there are good stories, and we don't tell them ourselves. We let the people who are beneficiaries to tell these stories, because we have seen that people have really lost trust in many of us as public representatives, which is why we are saying, where possible, let the people go and tell that I am Stella Ndabeni Abrams. I was supported by CEDA. I got this from CIFA, and this is where I need to go to, but they failed me here and. Ingosulu Tuli, you are also making reference to the frustrations that you also sharing, but as you make your articulation, you also raise the importance of us trying to collaborate when we assist the small businesses. And in the remarks that are made, which are linked again to what Honorable Mtenjane and Matulela have said in relation to not understanding how we can say we don't have money, well, that's not your Honorable Ingosulu Tuli, sorry, it's Honorable Matulela and Mtenjane. You don't understand how we are saying we don't have money whilst the president of this country sleeps in a mattress that has lots of money. I'm just going to talk to a few things as a principle as we politic about this sad situation that the SMM is faced with, that we think we can just refer them to monies under mattress. Honorable members will recall that President Ramaphosa has stated publicly that there's no basis for the claims of criminal conduct that have been laid against him. And he further committed himself that he stands ready to cooperate with any law enforcement or any other investigation of these matters. Having said that, Honorable Chair, the allegations against our president are very serious. And this is why we are calling for them to be thoroughly investigated without fear or favor. But we also encourage that all of us must let the due legal process take its course without any interference. Whilst others want to take shortcuts in terms of governing, we urge them to respect the constitution of this country too. But this is a constitution that was adopted here in this country, that all of us as members of parliament are presiding over and are bound by it. So it doesn't really order very well when it suits us. We want to dismiss the constitution and then we want to be proponents of change at times. We all are given an opportunity to go and campaign and express our commitments and promises to the people of South Africa. And as the constitution allows, they get to choose who they want them to lead. We may be calling for the department to be closed. Unfortunately, as we have seen in our manifesto as the governing party, as we have heard repeatedly so, whether it's our policy conference or the State of the Nation address that the president has delivered, we are committed in changing the plight of our people. And one of the instruments that we are committed to using is ensuring that we support small businesses so that they can in turn create jobs. This is a commitment we've made to South Africans that have driven the scores of people to go and put their X next to the ANC government. And any other person who has a problem with that, they ought to wait until their time comes and they can restructure government in a manner that
you are out of order. You are out of order. But you are out of order. You are out of order. Minister, you are out of order.
Honorable Matulelo, allow the minister to speak. If you want to speak, you will raise your hand. Let us respect the decorum of this portfolio committee, please. I'm requesting you. Allow her to speak. Honorable Minister, you may proceed. Thanks, Honorable Jacobs. I was kicked off because of network, but you may proceed, Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you so much, Honorable President. The reason I said what has been said by the Honorable Members and linked it with what they said, that they don't understand how do we say as a department, we're running short of funds to support small businesses, whilst we have a president that has money under the mattress. This was said in this platform, maybe Chairperson, it was in order, but as a government representative presenting here, unfortunately, I do not carry a brief that for me to do government work, I must go and beg individuals of their private funds. And again, if honorable members feel like this is unconstitutional, they may feel free to take action. But it is unconstitutional that in a portfolio committee established by parliament that provides oversight, that has a responsibility to make sure that we reduce any possibility of corrupt tendencies and corruption, to want to then believe that we can go to individuals in order to carry out government mandates. We don't want to start. Honorable Ingosi Luthuli, indeed, it is correct, as you mentioned, that we need to put measures to avoid the double dipping, as I spoke about. Yes, 50 million rand was too little for us, but unfortunately it is what we could find, because this is the money that we took from the budget that we had presented to yourselves that had other responsibilities. But because this is the crisis that we're faced with, and we understood that if we do not bail out those SMMEs, then it's going to have a severe impact. Hence, I mentioned that we went back to National Treasury. We are hopeful that they may reconsider their decision to decline our request. Honorable Jacobs, yes, we do have a valid reason and commitment to intervene genuinely on SMME growth and development. When we took a decision to separate the Department of Small Business Development from Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, is because we had observed that attention was not given a lot to small businesses. And because again of what we have explained in the National Development Plan, that by 2030, South Africa must create 11 million jobs. And out of that document, we said 9 million must come from small businesses. And this is what informed that decision to say, now if we continue to make small businesses a by the way issue, it means we're not going to be able to implement what we have committed to the people of South Africa as all parties in majority. This is why we separated the two departments, a focus to be given on developing small businesses. And this is why you have heard President Ramaphosa saying there's a need for the National Treasury to allocate big sums of amount to to this portfolio. But Honorable Chair, we just have our structure approved right now. We are working on the NISED, as we have said, including its implementation plan. We are working with other stakeholders so that we can present a case, knowing very well that if we get an increase to support small business, it is money that's going to be spent on small businesses, not money that will have to go back to National Treasury and spend. And that requires all of us to collaborate and ensure that we bring or we build capability to be able to spend on funds. And spending on funds, it means the SMMEs and cooperatives that we support have to be market ready. They have to also to be business development supported, looking at all the aspects so that we don't just dish out money the next thing after 5 years or 2 years the SMME is dead. That's why we are linking those two together. The provision of the non-financial support and the financial support becomes very critical. But again, that relies on us building the capability within the ecosystem that we are working within. And I want to take this opportunity, Honorable Chair, to thank you for supporting us, because your intervention also in reaching out to the Department of Public Service and Administration has really helped us to get things fast-tracked, that today we're talking about a structure that is approved, that we are waiting to advertise, and the DG with his team, they're working on some plans that they must put in place. With your permission, Honorable Chair, allow me to hand over to the CEO of CEDA to respond to other issues that are in detail administratively that affect the work they are doing. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. If allowed, I would just start from the back. I think the way you, Chair, Honorable Jacobs, there was, you had asked specific questions in terms of the numbers and everything. I would say that we are looking at one of the slides that talks about approvals. We are saying, which is slide 12, we are saying that 120 applications have been approved to date, amounting to 44 million. And out of the 120, 106, at the time of the report, we have been sent back to the provinces for to start the procurement. So yes, we did say that 32 about 26 applications declined and 12 withdrawn. But it doesn't mean that then the rest was not processed. We indeed Chair did the process, and it's even over and above what was complete, because we had to ask some of the clients to resubmit so that we make sure that we don't just decline people because they were not submitting documents. But the only reasons for decline also covers the question from Honorable, some of the reasons for decline, for those that would decline, comes from, also covered Honorable de Villiers' question, where we are saying that, for example, when we check the prices of the equipment versus what is in the market, then we found that actually some of the guys, if you look on slide 12, some of the guys, Chair, had inflated the prices of the equipment that they were trying to buy. Actually, some even had fictitious equipment and fictitious amounts. So through the site visits and through our verification methods, we're able to pick up those and making sure then that we are able to say no. Because once you do that, we can't trust you. We can't trust you with government money. We don't even say resubmit. We just tell you that you are trying to get money from the government, but not in the right way. So then you are declined. And those are some of the reasons in terms of covers what Honorable de Villiers was covering regarding the pay, the prices, and also including the fact that we've got our CFO and our executives who are the ones who are doing the final approval on these matters, who then check those matters in terms of the prices and the reasonability of the prices. There was also a question, also covering both sides, but there was a question also that a specific question that was asked regarding the how much we've spent to date by Honorable Jacobs. We wanted to just say that the 33.5 that is mentioned is what we had gone to ad hoc committee with, because at that time 2 weeks ago on approvals we were sitting at 33.5 million. Today, as at the time of the report, when we're sending to the committee, we're sitting at earlier in the week we're sitting at 44. Sorry, last week Friday we're sitting at 44 million, which shows that there's been progress since the ad hoc committee and this portfolio committee in terms of approvals. About 10 million more was added, and between Friday last week and today, there could have been some that would have been added. So, which means that we're not going to have underspending on this 50 million. The 50 million is going to be finished. What we're going to have is a problem that some of the applicants that haven't been looked at out of the total number, then they would not be able to get assistance. Hence, the minister was talking about the budget of 50 million, and the minister also mentioned that she will submit it again to get more money. So we then see if we get, then we can process further these applications, but we're never going to see to an understanding on the 50 million when the need for this is over 1275 million. So that then specifically answers that question. The minister covered on the need for business support, definitely, not only post the floods, but post the COVID and post the looting. Those three events have further emphasized the need for business support. Hence, CEDA has been calling for the portfolio committee. We know that our budget has been reducing, and this was raised by the portfolio committee, has been reducing over the years. Hence, we are calling for even a bigger budget so that we are able to see that can afford to have this budget reducing again, because the need for assisting SMMEs has even grown much beyond these three unforeseen events over the years. Chair. And then maybe touch base on the May. I think there is a mistake there on the informal. If the question was, can you get feedback on the May flood in July? And we are saying that we only opened for the formal businesses in May. We only opened for the informal. The formal businesses, what we've been reporting on today, which opened in May and closed, which opened in April and were able to close in May. We did not, we opened on 25th of April and closed on 13th of May. We did not open the informal one at that point in time. We only opened the informal one on the 25th of July, and it's closing this week, that one. And we will then start adjudication. And our commitment is that we need to make sure that the adjudication takes place as from next week, and we're able then to approve and disperse. And this is where we've been working with the municipalities. That process has been lengthy because we need to make sure that the municipalities check this, and also that there's no municipality that is not represented out of those that were infected or that were impacted by the floods. Hence, we involved all the stakeholders. Our LED offices at the municipalities are at the forefront of these informal traders, and we'll make sure then that all that were affected, as the municipality would have in the database, would then be assisted, which I then said we may have to look at, Chair, lower than the 10,000, so that we can accommodate almost all of those that will apply. And so we didn't open for informal traders in May. And we'll then give a report as we're closing on Friday in the next committee, in the next, not next week, but maybe the September committee, in terms of how far we've come on the informal traders and how much we've been able to spend. And by that time, on the formal one, we should have been able to at least issue and get the equipment being then delivered on the formal by the end of September, Chair. That is, those are the technical answers that I noted that the minister wanted me to just deal with, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, and thank you, CEO, for your responses. I note Honorable Dumisani's hand. Chair, I wanted just to check with you, do you want to take over or should we do another round? I think most of the questions has been addressed. I see Honorable Dumisani left his hand, he declined his hand, so I think we have concluded. Chair, can you guide me? Do you want us to do another round or can I give Honorable Dumisani? Honorable Dumisani, maybe you should come in.
Oh, well, once again, thank you very much, Chairperson, the Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, one last clarity seeking question, Chairperson. I've heard on the report, the presenter told us that some of the reason which made this department to decline or to disapprove some of the applications was the fact that some of those things were beyond the reach of this department. For example, he told us that things like buildings, they are not covered, or they can't help anyone with the problem of, they say maybe the building has fallen or something. Now, I want to check in with this department that if indeed this department says that it helps people and it's got people in heart, what measures did they do with the insurance companies? Because we will all know that insurance also, they are the one also that gives people headache every day. Because when it's time to pay back the claim, they always come up with stories. But these were the natural disaster issue, which we all saw what the floods have done. What did this department do to do a consultation on behalf of the affected people or business people to talk to the insurance to speed up the payment so that, or maybe to talk to that insurance to give those affected businesses maybe a temporary shelter on the meantime so that while they are processing whatever that they are processing as insurance, then the business cannot be affected. That was one chair clarity. But also, Chairperson, I've seen that our Honorable Minister have decided to be a spokesperson of the President. Now, I will advise that in the next future or in the future sittings or so for this portfolio committee, she must not act as a spokesperson of the President. She must speak on behalf of the department, because she can't come here and tell us that no one knows what happened there, and then there are still thorough investigations and stuff. How do you investigate something that you caught something in the act? They caught the President with dollars. How do you investigate that? So please, Chairperson, advise the Minister that next time when she comes here, she must speak solemnly on the issues of the department. She must not become a spokesperson of Cyril Ramaphosa. Please. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Dumisani. I've allowed you to make your input. I think what we'll do now, I don't know if there is any technical response. I don't want us to go back to the politicization. This is not the time and the space for these politics. We are dealing with issues relating to the flood victims and the small business support in Eastern Cape and Western, in KZN. So can I ask if there's any immediate or just responses to Honorable Dumisani's question from the technical level before we conclude matters today?
Thank you, Chair. Just on the first question that was asked by the Honorable Member in relation to what role we have played in terms of those that we have declined, others because they have insurances. Unfortunately, our mandate does not extend to going to insurances, but where small businesses are victimized, we are able to at least try to get to understand what is happening. All we are able to do is to say there are these small businesses that are affected as we work with the provincial and local sphere, which many of them in the affected areas had provided halls and other space to accommodate the small businesses or the people that were affected by the floods. And that's what we can account for. On the insurance side, unfortunately, we couldn't. I know, Chairperson, you cited that you don't want us to politic about this. Honorable Chair, I want to clarify and apologize to the honorable members if they believe that when I explain what they have said in this platform or explain the implications, that it means I'm appointing myself as a spokesperson. I responded here, on the work that we are doing as the department, wherein the honorable members, in their own articulation, do not understand why the department does not have enough money to support small businesses. And they cite that we go to the president. And that's not nominating yourself to a spokesperson, chairperson, but to explain what role we can play and the values that we must carry out, both as public representatives and as government, that we can't go out. And this, even if it was not President Ramaphosa or any other person, I will still come back and say, we can't go to individuals and borrow money or ask for money to save or do government work, because this is what has led to capture. And these are the things, Honorable Chair, that are very important, that as we represent the public, we ought to clarify and be exemplary ourselves, both in articulation and in expression. I understand politicking, which is why I have to say that let me separate the two and show the implications of that. Not that I would make a bad spokesperson, though. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Minister and Honorable Members. I think we've sufficiently exhausted the topic at hand. I want to ask the Secretary if there is any other matters, outstanding matters for the business of the day. Member King?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair. It was the consideration of a committee meeting minutes of the last meeting that we had of the 1st of June.
Please,
Flight
it.
Nomta, can you flight them? Because I think I've got a problem when I'm sharing. Or I'll try.
I see your hand, the Minister.
My apologies, Honorable Chair. I was going to request, if it's possible, that the Portfolio Committee releases us when it comes to this item.
No, good. I think we are grateful for your presence here, and thank you for coming in account, and you and your team. I think we are sufficiently happy with your responsiveness, progress to date. Please continue the work, be on the ground. Areas of improvement we will continuously support, but also be critical and push our oversight role. So to you and your team, thank you again, and you are excused, Minister.
Thank you so much.
Okay, can you make it a little bit bigger? Lucky? Yeah, I see. Okay, members, here we have it. It's our last meeting of the last quarter. Minutes of 1st of June. Okay. You can go page for page. Continue. They continue. Continue. Okay, members, there we have it. That is the minutes of our previous meeting. If this is an honest reflection of our meeting on the 1st of June, can I call for the adoption of this minute?
Chair.
Honorable Lubengo.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes of 1st June 2022. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The seconder.
Seconder, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mpindegwa. Members, I think there we have it. This is the we've adopted the minutes, and this brings us to the end of today's session. I want to thank all of you for participating and the meeting is adjourned. We'll see each other next week. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs.
Recording stopped.